Today we're building a classic jungle call and response riff in Ableton Live 12, designed for that timeless roller momentum, the kind of bass line that keeps pulling the track forward without ever sounding jammed up or overcooked. This is an advanced breakbeats lesson, so the focus is not just on writing a catchy phrase. We are shaping a conversation between two musical ideas, a call that creates tension, and a response that locks the groove back in. When you get this balance right, the whole loop starts to feel alive. It breathes. It leans. It chases the drums instead of sitting on top of them. Set the project tempo to 172 BPM to start. That's a really strong sweet spot for jungle informed drum and bass, especially if you want that rolling, restless energy. You can always move it a little later, but 172 gives us a good center point. First, build the drum foundation. In this style, don't rely on a single break and hope for magic. Layer it. Start with a main break, then reinforce it with a kick, a snare, maybe a rim or click, and a few ghost percussion hits if needed. The goal is to preserve the character of the break while making the backbeat hit with clarity. If you're slicing the break, simpler is your best friend here. If you want to layer individual hits, drum rack is perfect. On the break track, clean things up with EQ 8 first. High pass somewhere around 25 to 35 HC to remove useless rumble, and if the loop feels muddy, dip a little around 250 to 400 HE. Then add drum busts for a little extra smack and density. Keep it subtle. We're not trying to crush the break, just give it shape and weight. After that, use glue compressor lightly, maybe 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction, just enough to glue the loop together. And if the break is too wide or loose in the low end, utility can help keep the stereo image under control. Now split your bass duties into two jobs. That's one of the big secrets to a strong roller. You want a clean sub layer, and then you want a mid-bass layer that carries the personality of the riff. For the sub, keep it simple. Operator is ideal. Load a sine wave, keep the envelope clean, and let it do one thing really well. Provide weight. If you want a little movement, fine, but don't get fancy here. The sub should be solid, mono, and predictable. Use utility to make sure the low end stays centered, and if the kick is competing with it, sidechain the sub gently so the groove breathes. The mid-bass is where the conversation happens. This is your call and response character layer. Wave heatable is a great choice. Try a saw on one oscillator, a square or another saw on the second. Keep the unison modest, maybe 2 to 4 voices, and use a low pass filter to tame the top. Then give the filter a little envelope movements of sound opens and closes with the phrase. A little saturator after that goes a long way. You want attitude, not mush. Now write the call phrase. Think of it as the question. It should lean forward, not resolve too early. Build it in 2-bar or 4-bar units, and avoid making it too busy. In a jungle roller, space matters just as much as notes. A good call might start right on the grid or just ahead of the downbeat. Use a bit of syncopation, then leave a pocket where the response can answer. A useful shape is short, short, long, or long, short, short. That kind of phrasing gives the ear something to latch onto. If you're working in D minor, for example, you might use a small motif around the root, fifth, and octave, maybe with a passing tone or a tension note like C to keep it unsettled. But don't get trapped into thinking only about melody. This is more about rhythm and articulation. The notes are important, sure, but the timing is what makes it feel like jungle. Program a 2-bar MIDI clip for the call. Keep the note lengths short, add a few tiny rests, and let the end of the phrase stay open. That open space is critical. It tells the listener something's coming next. In Ableton Live 12, you can also use MIDI transform tools if you want to nudge the phrasing around. Slight velocity changes can help humanize repeated notes, and tiny timing shifts can stop the loop from feeling gridlocked. Now write the response. The response is the answer to the question, and it usually works best when it does less, but says more. It can be lower, darker, more sustained, or just more spacious. A single sub stab can hit harder than a flurry of notes if it lands in the right place. Sometimes the strongest response is just a lower, drier note that arrives slightly later than expected. That little delay makes the whole loop feel heavier. A good pattern is to let the call run for bars 1 and 2, then answer in bars 3 and 4. Or if you're looping a shorter phrase, let the response land just after the snare, so it feels like the drums and bass are passing energy back and forth. That's the core of the roller effect. Contrast is everything here. If the call and response sound too similar, the ear stops hearing the conversation. So make them different in register, envelope, filter, stereo width, distortion amount, or note length. For example, the call could be a little brighter, a little more mid-range heavy, and more active, while the response is darker, lower, and more centered in the sub. That contrast gives the riff its weight and its motion. A nice processing chain for the call might be wave-eatable into auto-filter, then saturator, then compressor, then utility for the response. Keep it simpler. Operator or another clean bass source into a Q8, then a sidechained compressor, then utility. The point is not to make both layers equally dramatic. The point is to make them speak differently. Now let the bass and the break interact. This is where the groove really starts to roll. Don't play space notes directly on every drum accent. Leave pockets. Put notes just after the snare, between ghost hits, or where the kick leaves a gap. The bass should feel like it's pushing the break forward, not sitting on top of it and fighting it. If your snare is on 2 and 4, a bass note that leans into the snare can create a really classic tension release feel. Next, add movement with automation. A timeless roller almost never stays static for long. Automate auto filter cutoff, maybe a bit of saturator drive, maybe some reverb or delay send, or even wave-eatable position if the synth has enough harmonic motion. A simple strategy is to keep the call slightly more closed at the start, then open the response a little more. Over the next 4 or 8 bars, you can gradually increase cutoff, add a bit more drive, or introduce a new note in the call while thinning out the response. That keeps the loop developing instead of just repeating itself. At this point, resampling becomes a powerful move. Jungle loves resampling. Once the riff is working, bounce the bass and drums to audio. Then edit the result. You can chop tails, create reverse hits, slice interesting moments into a drum rack, or print a version with a little reverb and use the tail as a ghost answer later in the arrangement. This is where the track starts getting that handmade, lived-in character. If you want to go deeper, print both a dry version and a wet version of the bass. Keep one clean for the core section, and bring in the more affected pass when you want extra energy. You can also resample a bandpassed or filtered version quietly underneath the main riff to create grime and depth without cluttering the mix. Now think arrangement, not just loop. A strong 16-bar roller section might start with a simpler version of the call for the first 4 bars, bring in the full response in bars 5 to 8, add a variation or a drum fill in bars 9 to 12, and then pull the call back a bit in bars 13 to 16 so the response can dominate before the next section. That's how you keep momentum without exhausting the listener. A few common mistakes to watch out for. First, don't make both phrases too busy. If the call and response are both packed with notes, the riff loses clarity. Second, make sure there is real contrast between them. Third, keep the sub steady and mono. A wandering sub can wreck the entire roller. Fourth, don't overcrowd the break with bass hits on every accent. Let the drums breathe. And fifth, don't overprocess the bass. A strong, clean riff with a few smart effects will always beat a messy pile of plugins. For darker, heavier DNB, minor tonal centers work really well. Especially D minor, F minor, or A minor. Harmonic minor touches, semitone tension, and tritone movement can all add menace. If you want extra weight, layer a clean sine sub under a distorted or bandpassed mid. That combination is a classic for a reason. And if you want a response to feel heavier without adding more notes, make it lower, tighter, darker, and a little drier. Heavy does not always mean more. Sometimes heavy means less information, delivered with more authority. Here's a solid practice exercise. Build a 4-bar roller loop at 172 BPM in D minor. Program a break with a snare on 2 and 4. Make a sine sub with operator. Make a mid bass in wave-eatable with a low-pass filter. Write a 2-bar call using 4 to 6 notes, short note lengths, and 1 octave jump. Then write a 2-bar response using fewer notes, a lower register, and more sub-emphasis. Automate the filter so the response opens a little more than the call. Then bounce the bass to audio and make one chopped variation from the resample. If you want to push it further, try landing the call just before the snare and the response just after it. That tiny shift can make the whole groove feel like it's leaning forward. So the big idea here is simple. A timeless jungle roller is built from tension, space, and motion. In Ableton Live 12, you can shape that with a strong break, a clean sub, a character mid-bass, smart phrasing, and subtle automation. When the call and response are balanced properly, the track stops feeling like a loop and starts feeling like a moving conversation. That's the magic. If you nail this, you've got the foundation for a bass line that feels both classic and modern, with that unstoppable roller momentum. Keep it breathing, keep it pushing, and let the break and bass talk to each other.